warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So we raise our glass. I'm Adam. I kind of said "or," really weird, but that's okay. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in the studio.
Hey,
Dave. It's been a hectic week, to say the least.
Yeah, man, it has been a crazy week.
It's been a very, very crazy week. We've had a lot of things going on. Hey, first of all, let's give a shout out to a couple of the Council of Man members.
Okay.
Because Brian Finlay just had a baby.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And then...
let's toast to him.
Yeah, let's toast. Cheers to you, Brian, and your family. May you...
Cheers to you, man.
May you parent that child to become a saint.
May your loins be as fruitful as the love of our God.
Okay. You can take either A or B.
It's pretty fruitful, man.
That is pretty.
It's a lot of fruit there.
And then also, Josh Rayburn's wife, Councilman member Josh.
I just toasted to a man's loins.
That is a little
weird, isn't it?
That is a little weird.
When I think about it.
But Josh.
Turns out that's a weird thing to do.
Josh Rayburn's wife just came into the church this weekend.
Yeah.
So cheers to them.
Cheers. Welcome, Josh Rayburn's wife.
Yes.
Welcome home to Rome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the family. So, anyway, had a lot going on.
May you find this home an eternal rest in heaven. Boom.
Boom.
I always have such like a weird like tone of voice when I finish my toast. It's like, there, I've said it all.
Yeah, that is a little weird. But you did good.
Thank you. I thought it was a good one, though.
I also this weekend had a opportunity to go to Hop Jam, which was a lot of fun. I went with... Father Brian Ketterer and Juan and my wife Haley.
Yeah,
it is a beer festival.
Where are the guys? They live here and they have hops.
Oh, the Hanson brothers.
Hanson. Were they there?
Yeah, they were. Well, one of them was. I like when we got in there. There's this really ridiculous long line.
One of them's Catholic.
Yeah, Dante told us that.
Yeah,
but he had a long line. I was like, what are all these people doing? You know, waiting on this line, there's tons of tents. You know, there was like 70 tents out there, you know, with different breweries. And I asked the lady and she's like, oh, Taylor's over there. And I was like, who's Taylor? And then they're like, no, the Hanson guy. It's like, ah. And then I looked at the line. It was like all females.
Was it?
I was like, this makes sense.
Because I think he was supposed to be the cute one.
It was like, bop, that makes sense.
Is that true? I don't remember. I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, I have no idea. But it was a lot of fun. I got an opportunity to try a lot of different beers, hang out with Haley and Father. And like the moment we got in there, our goal was we got to find Father Brian Ketterer because he knows which tends to go to.
He knows what good beer to drink.
Yeah. And so it was like, go find him. So that way he tells us, you know, which tents to go to and which beers to try in those tents.
I feel like he knows what a beer is going to taste like before he even drinks it based on this brewer, they brew in this style and. Blah, 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 blah. He'll come up with other stuff I won't even think of. And he's like, yeah, that tastes exactly like what I thought. Yep.
Yeah. It was impressive to watch because he was in his atmosphere.
Yeah, man.
It was really cool.
It is. He's like an animal in his native environment. Yeah.
So anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, Dave, we do three things. And I'm going to give you redemption because last week you butchered it. So.
Okay, so we do three things here on the Catholic Man Show. The first thing we do is open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage, which we're about to do imminently. The second thing we do in segment number two is highlight a man gear of some kind. This is something that the Catholic man should have and use regularly, if not daily. Also, if you don't know what that means, think about guy toys, okay? Stuff that men like flashlights, knives,
rosaries,
flamethrowers. I'm sticking with flamethrowers. Dude, we got to do a flamethrower.
What about a tomahawk?
Tomahawk's sweet too.
And I have one.
What about like a throwing chainsaw?
That seems irresponsible. What's the third thing we do?
People juggle them.
What's the third thing we do?
The third thing we do is have a manly discussion on a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Very commonly centered around a virtue.
That's true. Also, if you are just tuning in and don't know anything about the Catholic Man Show, we were on the Patrick Coffin Show.
Recently. That was awesome.
That was a lot of fun.
A long time ago.
But it was released like last week.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. You can go to the Patrick Coffin Show and look that up. Subscribe to his podcast and you can check out our show there. And we also were at St. Mary's Catholic Church here in Tulsa this week to give our story, our radio story, our crazy radio story. And they videoed it and put it all together. And so you can go.
You can hear the story about how we got our radio station started. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also on our Facebook page and things like that.
If you can't tell, I kind of lost my voice this weekend. I'm hanging in with it today. It's a good thing we're recording today and not yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday you didn't sound very good.
I didn't sound much at all yesterday.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, by God's grace, we persevere.
It's been a hectic week. We have some.
Let's drink.
We have some projects coming up. But yeah, let's get into the first thing.
We got to. Okay, so today we're drinking a beer given to us by our Council of Man member Juan Posada.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Iron Joe. From their Den of Sin series. I didn't notice that on the bottle till just now.
Me either.
God, Juan, making us promote sin here on the
sinners.
Okay, but this is an oak-aged Scotch ale with avoca coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say that? Avoca?
I believe so.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, it's a limited release called Iron Joe from Roar and Sons.
So, Roar and Sons, apparently they're like a big deal. I only discovered them about a month ago. I had no idea who they were until a month ago, and I was apparently in the dark about this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their beers
are just okay in my opinion.
Yeah.
But they do have a few beers that are really good. This one, okay, so let's cheers.
Cheers to Jesus. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
So this one is obviously a dark beer. It has, because it's a coffee, so it has a really dark beer.
Coffee, you can definitely taste the coffee.
Yeah, and that's a thing that Father Brian Ketterer told us a couple episodes back, was if you hold on to it and you don't open it basically right away, the coffee's the first thing to go.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I didn't know that. The flavor coffee.
I didn't know that at the time until he told us. Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
But every time I hang out with him, I learn something new about beer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or Jesus. Beer or Jesus, one of the two. Going to learn something.
What about both?
Sometimes we're both Catholic. Sometimes both. Yeah, both hands, man.
Okay, thank you.
So this is delicious, though. But basically, there are a few words that when they appear on the bottle of a beer, I like it. Those words are things like imperial,
mm-hmm.
oak-aged,
mm-hmm.
scotch, coffee.
And these have all of those.
Well, it's not imperial.
Oh, not imperial. Yeah.
But apparently imperial just means it's higher in alcohol content. That's
right.
That's something I also learned from Father Brian Ketterer.
Yeah. This is 8%, so it's plenty. But it is. It's really good. It's a really good beer. We have it at about probably, 50 degree. It's not like ice cold. You don't put these stouts, right out of the refrigerator and start drinking them.
You're doing yourself a disservice if you do that.
Because you don't get all of the flavors.
Yeah, the notes, they open up as they warm.
Yeah. So
you want to keep it in the fridge, set it on the counter about 45 minutes before you want to drink it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then pop that baby open.
Yeah. It's going to be really good.
It should be prime.
Dude, and next week we're going to have Miley's going
to
be here.
Yeah, and I'm finally going to get to meet him.
Yeah. So if you don't know, Miley is his name is Michael Miley. He is the drummer of Rival Sons, a band. Awesome band. If you've never heard of Rival Sons, go look them up.
Yeah, look those guys up. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're really good. And he is a Opus Dei Cooperative, Third Order, I think is what it's called. Did I mess that up? Is it Third Order, Opus Dei Cooperative, Cooperative?
That's close. Did you see the picture, I think maybe on Instagram, of him kneeling before he goes?
Yeah, did he send it to me?
I couldn't remember where that picture came from.
Yeah.
So he sent that to you. That's awesome. So tell that story.
Okay, so he prays before... He's a very devout Catholic, and he prays before every time he goes up on stage. And So he takes a knee and prays right before they go on stage. And he was doing that, and a photographer just happened to see him, snap the picture, and sent it to him. And he sent it to me.
Talk about guts. I mean, if you think that it's hard to wear your faith on your sleeve in whatever job you do, whatever mm-hmm. industry you do, whatever your day-to-day life is, think about what it's like in the rock and roll entertainment industry. You know, where
it's
if you're
one
Catholic,
of the hardest.
If you're Catholic, like, that's, you know, that you're stupid. I mean,
the entertainment and the political atmospheres have to be the two toughest, I think, just off the top of my head.
To really embrace your faith.
Mm-hmm. I think that would, and you know, he sits there and he wears a crucifix around his neck. You know, he has rosary on.
He does it right. He goes all in.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. If you're going to be in that industry, you've got to go all in, because if you just go halfway, it comes off, you know, shallow.
Well, and it's not only that he shows it, but he acts it. He lives it.
He's legit.
He lives it. He lives his faith.
He's authentic about it.
Uh-huh. So anyway, I'm really excited to be with him next week. We're gonna have some extra episodes for the Council of Man. We're going to get a chance to hang out with him, have some beer and tacos. It's just going to be a great time.
I'm gonna ask him to teach me to play the drums.
I think he could probably do it really fast.
I mean, like 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe 10.
Should be able to knock it out.
Yeah.
10 minutes, yeah, because maybe I'm a slow learner on the rhythm. But
it'll be a lot of fun.
Never had to use my feet so like that. I mean, the piano, there's a pedal, but I don't know what else to say. 10 minutes.
I was just going to let you. I wasn't going to comment. I was just going to let you play that one out.
Yeah.
So, all right, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear.
It's going to be an awesome man gear. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time.
We're going to have a lot of fun this episode. It's going to be a fun discussion. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles in studio with my main man, Adam Minahan, who drives a minivan
and has a clan.
When he's, yeah,
the Minahan clan.
Hauling around his clan.
Anyway. Oh, man, that just turned a lot of people
off.
Dude,
I thought it was good. I could make money with that, I think. So, all right, we're about to introduce the man gear, because this is a serious man gear, okay? And let me just, I'm just going to introduce it to you this way, all right? That was it? Let me do it again.
Okay. I liked that one better.
That one was better.
Take two. Use take two.
Yeah. Man gear right there. If you don't know what that is, maybe you should.
Okay, so why don't you tell them?
The man gear for today, because our topic today is just war theory. That's what we'll be discussing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Today, the man gear is firearm.
It's a firearm.
Firearm.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's a more appropriate term instead of gun.
Okay.
It's firearm. So I have here in my hand one of my firearms.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some, right?
Yeah. I also have a shotgun and a pistol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not holding them right now.
No,
but.
No, you're not. I am currently holding both.
Yes, you are.
Because I came over.
He needed some inspiration,
like,
I guess.
It's just like ready to go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, okay, so you were a little nervous about this.
I was. I've thought about doing it for a long time, you know. Oh, is mm-hmm. that too aggressive?
Right.
But then I decided, like, just shut up.
And just do it.
Like, this is the Catholic Man Show, okay?
Well,
and the show comes with a warning. If you don't like the idea of a firearm being a man gear, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
I think that firearms are almost like the exact thing that we go for in a man gear. And here's why.
Okay.
Because there is a lot of responsibility that you have to have with a firearm. You have to, not only with safety purposes, but mm-hmm. you have to make sure it's clean. You have to make sure that, you know, you have the right ammo. There's a lot of things that you have to do with a firearm to make it, you know, do what you want it to do.
I agree.
And that's kind of, you know, what we do with the gears. You know, it's a you have to refine, like, this quality, and you have to have it refined to make it work properly.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and I keep both of mine in lock boxes that they...
Your lock box is sweet.
I do. I've got a couple. I think both of them are pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, so they are utterly disabled. Mm-hmm. Unless you know the passcode, that you just can't, they can't be accessed.
Right.
And so they're safe. I didn't used to have, I used to just keep like my shotgun in my closet.
Mm-hmm. And then you had kids.
And then, yeah. So then our oldest was born and my wife told me, hey, we need to do something about that. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. Let me ask you a question, Adam, because this is something that comes up with the shotgun in particular a lot.
Okay.
This conversation. Some people say, oh, I've got a shotgun, but I don't have any ammo. And that way my intention is just to do what I did, make that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, if you're in someone's house and you hear that sound, you're going to run.
I think that tactic is a great way to get shot.
That's what I think too.
I mean, because let's be honest.
Regardless of whether or not it's right, I think it's, on the one hand, I think it's correct.
I think it's silly.
I think it's silly. If someone does hear that sound, they are going to run.
I think it's silly because a gun is, there's purposes for a gun. And if you're not using it for its purposes, then it's silly.
Yeah.
Why have one?
Yeah, I mean, but the statistics will bear it out that the quickest way to get shot is to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a gun and someone else has a gun, now the chances of them shooting you just skyrocketed through the roof, right? So if you have a gun, you need to be prepared to use that gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's one of the fundamental rules of gun safety is that if you are going to draw a weapon,
mm-hmm.
then it must be with the intent to use it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's accurate.
Okay, and so having a gun that has no bullets in it,
it's
essentially like a expensive club at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to draw attention and
right.
get you more hurt. So don't do that. I think it's dumb.
I agree, even though
it might work.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, let's talk about a little bit like the gun, like the purpose of the gun for hunting, you know, uh-huh. for food.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea.
Because a lot of people instantly go with protection, right? With guns. But
yeah.
I think that there's a big purpose for having guns to have food, to get food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my families are big hunters. In fact, here's full disclosure. I've never been hunting before. Like I've had like squirrels, I guess if you want to count that, but I've never like, you know, been deer hunting or quail hunting or, I've never done that. No one's really asked me.
I went deer.
No one's invited me.
Deer hunting one time and didn't see a deer.
Family is like they're big hunters.
Hey, Minahan clan, someone take this guy hunting.
I know. It's like, I can't believe they haven't even invited me. Although I will tell you, the idea of getting up at 3 a.m. and sitting still and in the wet, cold, and not seeing anything and just sitting there does not sound super appealing to me.
You know what? It's more fun than you think, because you sit there, you got like your thermos of coffee.
Yeah.
And you know, you got you're bundled up appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like...
I also don't know what I would do if I actually, like, I've never killed anything. You know, I've never killed...
You don't know how you'd feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never done it before. You know, yeah. I think that it would... there'd definitely be a learning curve.
Yeah.
I just feel like if I shot a deer and saw it die, and I killed it...
You probably won't see it die.
Yeah, because it'd be running still.
It runs off, and then it dies, you know...
And you follow the
several hundred yards from wherever you shoot it.
Probably not me, though. I have a pretty good shot.
Well, that's what when I was going hunting, I was like, so why not just try to shoot him in the head? here's what I'm going to do. You know, everybody wants the antlers. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to shoot the antlers right off their head. This is going to be the perfect shot, okay?
Yeah.
And the guys I was with, they were saying, no, you're not. Don't do that.
I think it would be interesting when that happens, if it ever happens.
Yeah.
I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah. But you know, so we're talking about just war theory today. So I wanted to bring up the firearm,
right?
Because it all comes down to, the firearm. One of the things it says is that there is a time for taking up arms.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, as men, we're called to protect. That's yeah. one of our duties.
Exactly.
Is to protect.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, our immediate family. I mean, that's kind of self-evident. I mean, I think every man knows that. But we're called to, you know, protect our community and our nation, you know, our country. I think we also should cheers to all of our soldiers.
Cheers to you, soldiers. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Defending our freedoms.
Yeah.
The ones we have left.
the ones that are not being taken from us. But, yeah, the Army, Navy, military, Marines, all of them.
Yeah.
Air Force, what else did I miss? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines.
That's
those
all
are the four.
Yeah, that's all of them.
Yeah. But we appreciate
it's
you.
It's all the ones that we know about anyway.
We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you.
Totally.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, we're called to protect. So if you, it's like men are called to protect. And if you don't have something to protect with, similar, like you can you know, spin it with spirituality, like you're called to protect your family spiritually. And if you don't have a rosary, how does that work?
Yeah.
If you're not opening up your Bible and reading the Bible, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not
yeah,
leading
or,
your family.
Or if you're not praying, you know.
Yeah, if you're not leading your family
in
prayer.
Engaging in that, yeah. But so when I was single, living at home, if someone had come into my house, even though I had guns, I probably would have been more likely to help them. Like, oh, you're trying to steal my TV? You probably need my TV more than I do. Like, I don't know. Or here, let me give you some money if like you're really this desperate. But now that I have a family, it's a totally different game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot do anything that would ever risk their safety.
Right.
So if you're in my house, I no longer have the option to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I'm not just going to instantly try to kill you because you're in my house. The first thing I want you to do is leave. Okay?
Yeah, I think that's a good number one.
But if you do not leave, I will kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
Don't come in my house, first of all.
Right.
And I think that's pretty, because I don't have the luxury of trying to determine whether or not you are, you know, what your intentions
okay,
are.
Okay, so let me ask you
motives.
Real quick. We're about to go. What are your thoughts on non-lethal weapons for defense?
I think they're good, assuming that they work. The thing about the intruder in the middle of the night, which most intruders are actually not during the night, they're during the day,
mm-hmm.
is that it's very difficult to see what you're shooting at sometimes in the dark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So with like a taser, it's one of those ones that shoot.
Mm-hmm.
What if you miss? Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the problem. You could do something like get bean bags.
Right, the bean bag shotgun things.
But once again, the only reason that's different is because you can shoot more than one. A shotgun is the ideal defense weapon because it's very difficult to miss.
Yeah, you don't have to be a good aim.
My shotgun is the shortest legal shotgun that you can get in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to put out a spread. I'm not going to miss. I don't have to be a good shot.
Right.
In the middle of the night, in the dark.
Yeah. All right, I'm really excited about this topic. When we get back, we're going to talk about just war theory. This is Dave's topic. I'm really excited to hear what he has to say because it's one of his favorite topics to talk about.
It is
indeed.
So
stay tuned. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. And we're back, known in Winslow, Arizona, as The Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. And I really want to get to Winslow, Arizona someday. I really want to go because, like, I can just imagine driving to Winslow, Arizona, and then all of a sudden seeing a girl with a flatbed Ford. Like, that would be awesome.
Okay. Cool, dude. I hope you... Dude, I hope you...
Wouldn't that be
happens.
Cool? Would that not be fun?
I hope it happens.
It'd be really cool. Are you even getting the reference?
I'll bet you know
what I'm talking about?
It's the song.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
The Eagles song.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll bet they have so many flatbed Fords in Winslow, Arizona.
I don't know. I've never been there.
I'm just guessing. Well, I've never been there either.
I don't know why they would say that otherwise.
Is there anything other than flatbed Fords with girls who own them in Winslow? I mean, is there anything else there?
I don't know. I've never been there.
You've never done any research, I guess. Huh?
No.
Okay. I would like to give you a Latin quiz, Adam.
Oh, man. I'm not very good with Latin.
Because I would like to remind our listeners this Latin phrase.
Okay.
Semper ubi sub ubi.
I don't know.
This is the Catholic Man Show reminding you to semper ubi sub ubi. Do you know what it means?
No.
Okay, so semper, like semper fi.
Semper fi.
Always faithful. So semper
means? Faithful.
Always. Fidelity. Oh. Fi. Oh, okay. Fidelity,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So always semper ubi sub ubi. And I'll tell you, ubi means where.
Okay.
So semper ubi.
Okay.
Always.
Okay. Dude,
where?
I'm not.
Always where.
Okay, tell me what it is.
Sub ubi.
Okay.
What do you think sub means?
I'm just going to let you tell them.
I mean, what do you think it means?
I'm not.
It's under, right? Sub, okay. Under.
Okay.
Semper ubi, sub ubi.
Always wear underwear?
Always wear underwear. This is the Catholic Man Show.
Golly, that was weak.
Reminding you to semper ubi.
All right, let's
sub
get into
ubi.
The topic. That was so weak. Let's get into the topic.
It's just weak
topic,
because you didn't know it.
The
that's,
topic
that's,
is not
that's
weak.
Why you say that.
The topic is not weak.
No, it's not.
Let's talk about it.
It's the manliest conversation ever.
Deemed by us.
Okay. I have something to read.
Oh, man.
Insofar as men are sinners, the threat of war hangs over them and will continue until Christ comes again. But insofar as they can vanquish sin by coming together in charity, violence itself will be vanquished, and these words will be fulfilled. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Okay. So we're talking about just war theory.
Yes, we are talking about just war theory. And the reason it's important to talk about when is a war justified is because we live in a fallen world. And war at some point is justified. And I would say not only is it justified, it's required of us.
Well, there's a great duty.
Yeah.
At times. You know what I don't like is how today, and it seems like during the political season, I saw this a lot more than what I really wanted, but the idea of Jesus being such a pacifist, you know, like, oh, he was, you know, always a pacifist and kind of socialistic and an ideology.
Yeah.
I saw that all the time. It's like, Jesus was not a pacifist.
No, in fact, he said something like, if you have two tunics, sell one and buy a sword. I mean, he even said, I come not to bring peace,
but a sword.
Yeah.
I mean, did they not read the part where, like, he went through the temple, like, turning over tables and whipping the tables or whatever he was whipping?
I would have loved to have been there.
That would have been intense.
That would have been sweet.
No, it would have been in the synagogue. Not intense, but...
Right.
But it would have been in the synagogue.
Well, the original synagogue was a tent.
Ah, so I was right all along.
Boom, shakalaka.
Okay, so let's talk about it.
Okay, so at some
lay
point...
Lay the baseline, and then I'll play off of you.
There is a... There comes a point where... It's not only justified to go to war, I believe we have the obligation. And why? It's the same reason where if you see someone being, attacked, you you have the means to defend that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have the right to inflict physical harm on the aggressor, you know, you have the obligation to defend the innocent. Okay? And if all other means are... you know, have been, if that's the last resort is physical aggression, you have a duty to defend the innocent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing applies with war. If all other means have been exhausted, then physical means, AKA war, is required of us in order to defend the innocent, because that's what it's really about.
When you say us, you also mean like,
I mean anybody.
Anybody. You're not talking about like just the U.S.
Correct. But
I just wanted to make clarify.
Yeah, good clarification. So there are really two sources that we have. The St. Augustine talks about it in the Summa.
No.
St. Thomas, but...
Augustine started.
You're right. I meant to say St. Thomas, but St. Thomas basically is quoting St. Augustine the whole time.
Right.
When he talks about it in the Summa, because St. Augustine really spoke a lot about this, but St. Thomas
He laid it out, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Augustine laid out the just war theory.
Uh-huh.
What is known as the just war theory.
St. Thomas took it and kind of refined it a little bit, and then since then, the church has refined it even more. So in the catechism, you can find a good summary
mm-hmm.
of what just war theory is.
Do you remember what numbers it are? Just so that way they can go look at it if they need to.
Yes. Number 2309.
Okay. 2309.
So let's just go through them. This says the strict conditions for legitimate defense by military force requires rigorous consideration. The gravity of such a decision makes it subject to rigorous conditions of moral legitimacy. At one and the same time, so that we have to have all of these conditions must be met.
Okay.
It says the damage inflicted by the aggressor on the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, and certain. So whoever it is that's the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
whatever they're doing has to be what they call lasting, grave, or certain.
Okay.
So you have to, it's like this is going to be affect them forever. It's going to be or serious. Or we know that...
Maybe not forever, but just in the foreseeable future.
Or, you know, lasting. That's, you know,
right.
It's going to affect them for a long time.
Okay.
Or we have to know for sure that this is them doing it.
Okay.
All other means of putting an end to it must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective.
Negotiation, okay. Everything like that.
Negotiation, embargo.
Right. Putting them in timeout.
Yeah. Then the timeouts.
Okay.
You should definitely try timeouts. There must be serious prospects of success.
Okay.
So if, you know, like, let's say Costa Rica decides they're going to declare war on Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, Costa Rica.
Right.
Like,
you don't have the means to even come close to winning.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to fly, like, your five ships at them or five planes? It's
right.
just not going to work.
Right.
Okay. And then it says the use of arms must not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil that is going to be eliminated.
You can't okay. do evil to end evil.
Well, it says that you can't do something worse to the bad guys than what the bad guys were doing in the first place. You see what I mean? So like,
so what if, okay. So what if, the bad guys bombed? And then you were like, well, I'm going to do bombs times 10.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Okay, so like, let's say the bad guys are...
It doesn't matter who the bad guys are. No.
I'm thinking what they're doing. Let's say the bad guys are like harassing people who are coming through their country.
Mm-hmm.
In a like a bad way. They're like objectifying them or humiliating. I don't know. I mean, that's probably not bad enough to go to war over, you know?
Right.
But let's just say that you say, all right, we're going to use chemical warfare and we're basically just going to torture you.
Right.
Because we're bigger and stronger and
we're
going to come rescue this other country. You know, that
right.
That's not what it's saying.
Okay.
You can't do something that's even worse, even more evil.
Okay. So what, like if they bombed somebody and then we said, no, you can't do that. We bomb you times 10.
I guess so. That depends. It's not, I don't think that you can necessarily consider it in the number of lives you're killing. I think it's more important to consider the intent of what you're doing. So, if it's your intent to, almost like sometimes in revenge, you're like brothers,
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, you punched me in the arm, so I'm going to punch you in the face.
Right.
You know, it's like an escalating cycle.
Right.
You have to avoid that. Okay. The objective of war should be to resolve the conflict with as little damage and harm as possible. So the objective needs to be resolving the conflict, not inflicting damage.
Okay.
And so I think that's kind of the line that people get confused sometimes. And they think, oh, well, you are, because if your goal is to simply resolve the conflict And what ends up happening is you kill even more people than that country was killing in the first place. You think, oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, it doesn't really work that way because this is the principle of double effect. Your intent wasn't to kill all these people. They were a side effect of the action you were taking, whatever it was. So the thing about just war theory is that it assumes there is a moral decision maker. Someone who actually has virtue and morals is making the decision.
Which is why it's so important to have a man or woman who is very moral in the office, in your country, who's making those decisions.
Right, yeah. So let's talk about it on the other side of the break. We're the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We are in studio today. We are drinking Iron Joe, which is a product of Roar and Sons. I like that because it's like, roar. It's pretty manly.
My boys would too. That's all they do. They roar all the time. They like dinosaurs. And
they do like dinosaurs. They're all about dinosaurs.
Yeah, so they're roaring all over the place.
Jude shows up places with dinosaurs.
Yeah, and like shows up to my parents' house roaring. That's what he does. Like when he walks into the door, that's what he does.
And he'll like, look at my dinosaurs, roar.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And
anyway.
Sons. Yeah. This is about your kids.
This beer is about my kids.
It's about your kids. But it's super good. You know what? I didn't mention my pistol here I've got. I just really love it. It's a Sig Sauer, mm-hmm. Sour. I don't know how other people Sauer, say yeah. it, but I've got a P226. They don't make them anymore. Now they make the 228. It's just a really good handgun. If you're in the market,
Sig makes great handguns.
I agree. I'm a big fan of Sig. Before I bought this, I went with a buddy of mine who has a bunch of guns mm-hmm. to the range. So I got to shoot, you know, like all these different brands because mm-hmm. each brand kind of has its own feel to it.
Without a doubt.
That's something I highly recommend. Maybe go to a range where you can rent them. I know we have a gun range here in town. It's mm-hmm. called 2A. For $5, they will rent you a machine gun if you want to shoot a machine gun.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it one time. I rented a SCAR.
Yeah.
Now, you got to buy the ammo. So, it's more than $5. But anyway, that's something I think I wanted to just get out there. If you're in the market, go shoot some of these guns before you buy them.
Okay.
So, Adam, over the break, you're kind of asking me questions about something. So, I just wanted to clarify, you know, this whole about not inflicting more evil mm-hmm. than the other person.
Okay.
And I use the example of big brothers and brothers because when brothers punch each other and the other one punches the other one back, it's not about, they don't punch back because they're defending themselves. It's about revenge. Mm-hmm. And I need to inflict more damage on you than you. I mean, the intent behind their action is inflicting the damage. So let's say, because you were using the example of like, oh, we're going to bomb you 10 times more. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying like, well, yeah, kind of, but you know, it depends on the intent of the action. So let's say Iran bombed a military base of Israel, okay? Mm-hmm. And as the U.S., we got involved. Or let's just say Israel responded. Somebody responds. And they immediately respond by bombing every single Iran military base,
mm-hmm.
okay? So it's maybe 20 times more damage, okay? That's okay because the response is with the intent of defense.
Right.
It's not about like, hey, that's not fair. You blew up my military base. Now I'm going to blow up your military base. You know, like right. That'll show you.
It's the idea that you can't escalate it to, okay, now you did that. Now we're going to drop chemical warfare all over your country.
Right. It's not about like teaching you a lesson.
Right.
It's about defending an innocent party.
That makes sense.
Okay. So just war theory, this is why it's so important to have moral decision makers because it all comes down to the intent behind the action.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, so Thomas Aquinas in the Summa, he has a couple other things to say.
I like Thomas.
I do too. He's pretty good. So he says that there are three things in order for a war to be justified.
Okay.
is he says, and this is a good point that's not as clear in the catechism. He says that the authority of the sovereign by whose command the war is to be waged, basically an authority has to declare war. An individual cannot declare war.
That makes sense.
Okay, so if you're, because let's say someone does something to me and I say, hey, that's not fair. I'm declaring war. Mm-hmm. He says that only the government, essentially, can declare war.
Those in authority. That makes sense.
Yeah. The second is that a just cause is required, namely that those who are attacked should be attacked because they deserve it on account of some fault.
Makes sense again.
I like that.
Yeah.
They should be attacked because they deserve it. Mm-hmm. You guys deserve for us to declare war. And the third is that the belligerents should have a rightful intention so that they intend the advancement of good or the avoidance of evil. Okay, and he goes on to quote Augustine and with a long quote. So that's what he gets back to about. It's about the intent. You know, it's not about killing people. And really, the number of casualties in a war isn't even the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your intent should be to have as few casualties as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the intent. Mm-hmm. But the intent is about bringing this to a resolution as quickly and swiftly as possible, while causing minimal harm. So that's your intent. And you know, we're flawed humans. We're going to do the best. We're supposed to do the best we can in that situation, but it's war.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not going to be perfect.
And war's not pretty at times.
It's never, ever, it's never pretty.
Ever, yeah.
Okay, except so in the Old Testament, it's pretty glorious in the Old Testament.
Okay. So let me ask you this. A lot of times within war, let's just say the U.S. says, okay, North Korea. North Korea is an easy example.
There you go.
We're putting an embargo on North Korea. And now we're not giving you any of this, and this, all these resources.
Yeah, we put sanctions.
We put sanctions
on you.
Basically,
we freeze all the, you know, we freeze a lot of their assets. They're not allowed to buy. They can't use their money.
Right.
I don't know how we do that, but.
And what ends up happening, right, is it doesn't end up affecting the leaders who are the reason why we're doing this. It affects all of the civilization.
The citizens.
The citizens. Thank you.
Yeah, so like Kim Jong-un, he's the leader now.
Right.
He took over after his dad, Kim Jong-il, died.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even crazier than his dad. We've put more sanctions on North Korea since his dad died. And he put on like 100 pounds.
So how? Okay, but
he was obviously eating just fine.
Right. So my question is, how moral is that? Because we're putting sanctions on North Korea, and knowing that we're trying. I mean, you have to do something with North Korea.
You have to do something.
You have to slap them around somehow. You know, you have to get them to wake up a little bit.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening, the end is the people in North Korea are starving to death.
Well, so I think I think you got to do that first. You have to, because it really does make it difficult for the country to do a lot of stuff. Okay, so we've had sanctions on Russia as well.
Mm-hmm.
That have come off and come on, and
right.
It's not nearly as intense as North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot that it makes it very, very difficult for them to do. I mean, that's why they've been so reliant on China,
right,
to get supplies for all these military tests, you know, for the mm-hmm. missile testing that they've. If it weren't for China, they wouldn't be able to do any of that stuff.
Right.
And so then they really would be. So China has kind of been the weak link in the whole sanction program, because they don't comply. Now they're starting to come around because China is becoming more of an international player. But mm-hmm. That's not really what we're talking about today. I think you have to do that. But at some point, like it kind of looks like North Korea is on its way to the U.S. having to take some action against it.
Okay. So right or wrong, we realize we're gonna be in war. In order to finish the war quickly or something like that, you have to target any and everybody from the opposing team. Is that right or wrong?
Well, what do you? I mean, I think you have to target military targets. You have to avoid civilian targets. But
what if you say, well, if
but
I
with
can...
the sanctions thing, I do think it's inappropriate to blame, like, because the sanction, you know, like the people are starving over there.
Right.
I do think it's inappropriate to blame the U.S. or the person putting the sanctions on the country for the suffering of the country.
Well, without a doubt.
If you want to know why the country is suffering, look at the leadership.
Absolutely.
Because they're way out of line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So it's tough because, you know, the country is starving.
Right.
And if we were to remove the sanctions, maybe that wouldn't be the case. They'd still be pretty hungry.
But it
but
could
it might
cause,
be a little better.
It could cause a lot more damage.
But I don't. But that's, you know, people are so blind morally these days. They just see suffering and they think there's no way this is the right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where sometimes, and they have the tendency to look at the person who seems to be causing the suffering and blame them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not their fault. Okay.
Okay.
So what was your, was that, what was, I kind of interrupted you. What were you saying?
I was saying in order to minimize war or the longevity of war,
mm-hmm.
targeting civilians.
No. You can never, ever, ever, ever target civilians. Let me ask you, here's a situation. Let's say
I'm not saying that I would do that. I'm just
No. I'm answering
you,
your question.
Yeah.
You can never, but let me ask you this because we just got a little time.
Okay.
Let's say there is a terrorist in a bunker, okay, mm-hmm. who has the detonator to a nuclear bomb, which is in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is outside of the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a hypothetical, so we right. can say that we know this to be a fact. The only way to get the terrorist out of the bunker is to bomb the outside and kill his wife. If you kill his wife, who is an innocent party,
mm-hmm.
he will come out and we can kill him and stop him from detonating the nuke in New York City. What do you do?
Well, you can't kill an innocent person.
Correct. Yeah. So some people will say, well, you got to kill her. You have to. The nuke's going to go off in New York City.
Right.
And you say, yeah, you're right. But you cannot ever. So, you know, you can't. The ends do not justify
the
means.
You can't kill an innocent person to try to.
So in that scenario, it is morally wrong to kill. And so once again, people have this tendency to say, you just let a nuke go off in New York City. And you say, no, I didn't. A terrorist nuked New York City. I didn't nuke New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I simply didn't kill an innocent person. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can't assign
that's
the blame.
That's really hard emotionally.
It
right?
is. But that's just because, you know, we're so morally blind. You can't assign me the blame because I didn't kill an innocent person.
Right.
You know, it's that terrorist who did it.
Right. I think that's...
There's a lot of fun games like that. I wish we had more time, but we're running out of time because those are a lot of fun to talk about.
Well, and they're mind warping. And, you know, they really get you going.
They challenge you.
So, we'd love to hear from you. Again, refer to the Catechism and... St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, on Just War Theory. We just had some Roaring Sons, Iron Joe, the man gear was firearms. Just got done talking about Just War Theory.
So men, be ready to stand up for what is right.
Always. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.